Tonight, what I want to talk about is, why does God allow trials? Trial is defined as an affliction or trouble. The remainder of the definition is very important too. It's an act of testing or trying. There are mainly four Greek words translated trial. The most common action is that of testing. One of the four suggests refining or testing by fire. And if we look at 1 Peter in chapter 4 and verse 12, we read, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." In our life, we're going to have many different trials. Some of them are going to be what we would consider minor trials, easy to overcome, and some of them are going to be very difficult. That's what makes up this life. The purpose of the trials, first off, the difficulties help to prove our faith. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it was tested by fire, may be found to be to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The other thing that trials do is they help us to endure. Enduring trials produces humility and patience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, we read, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Further down in verse 10, Paul says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The other thing that trials do is the scripture addresses the conduct that a Christian should have while enduring these trials. There should be rejoicing, praising, or praying, singing, and working. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, he writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, we see how we should react we see an example of how we should react when we have these trials. "That in a great trial of affliction and abundance of your joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." This was admonishing about their giving when they were taking up the collections for the saints. In Acts 16 and 25, we read about Paul and Silas. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." You can just imagine the thoughts going through the prisoners' minds as they were hearing these two singing and praying. And I'm sure that they weren't singing songs that were what we would call downers. They were probably singing very uplifting songs in their affliction. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." This shows us how we are to work while we are under these trials and afflictions. And then the last point in this little piece here is, or in this little section, is that how we should view other people in their trials. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." So as we see other people who are enduring their trials and tribulations, we should take great solace in the fact that they are able to do that and persevere through that. God promises things to those who endure trials. Regarding Paul's thorn in the flesh, in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, Paul writes, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God also promises deliverance in time of trial for his people. In Psalms 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Another promise is the crown of life. We hear Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." So we all can take part in that great promise. Trials are a part of life. Some of our problems are brought about by our sins. Proverbs 13 and 15 says, "Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." That's one way we can have trials. The other way, some difficulties come as a result of doing what is right. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So whether we do right or whether we do wrong in this life, we will have trials. Also, accompanying each difficulty through God, though God has provided a way of escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond you are able. But with the temptation will always make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." So we have the promise that we will be able to bear whatever trial and temptation we have as long as we want to and desire to do so. Regarding trials, James wrote in James 1, verse 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." In conclusion, even though most cringe at the thought of problems and difficulties, man needs resistance and trials to challenge and make him a better person. Without trials, man tends to be arrogant. Let's listen to the psalmist in Psalms 119 and verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, and that I might learn thy statutes." Thank you.